Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are here, hallelujah, and we're here in Jesus' name. I am your host, Minister Billy Burns, along with my husband, Elder Albert Burns, and we are just so happy to be here today. And we're not going to give the glory to nobody but God. Hallelujah. Had a little technical difficulty this morning, but to God be the glory. We're going to hear a phenomenal testimony this morning. And I'm just excited. I'm just excited. I know that God is in control and there's no force, no nothing that can stop what he has ordained to happen. Hallelujah. Say good morning, baby.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm just happy to be with God's people once again on today and excited about the testimony that's going forth, because I can just think of all the goodness that God has done for me, and I know he's doing so much for so many others, and it just excites me to hear what God is doing in the lives of others. I just greet everyone this morning. Again, I'm Elder Albert Burns, the husband of the host, and this is the day the Lord has made us rejoice and be glad in it.
I remember, honey, back in the days when we had testimony service at church, and someone would stand up and say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah, and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. Hallelujah, babe. You want to open us up with prayer?
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come to you right now. Hallelujah, praising you and thanking you as we think of your goodness unto us. Father, you've been good, you've been merciful, you've been faithful, you saved us, you healed us, you protected us. Father, all that we have needed, you have provided for us, and we just say thank you. We love you, we honor you, we worship you, we give you praise. All the glory is yours. Hallelujah, there's none like you in all of heaven or in all of the earth. Father, right now, we just lift up our hands, we lift up our eyes, we lift up our voices, and we say thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for all that you're doing, for all that you've done. We thank you for every promise, because we know that your word is true, and those promises shall be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus, we pray your blessing upon this broadcast today and upon your people, those that are participating, those that will be listening in, those that will listen in later in the archives. Father, we just pray your anointing and your blessing on all. Let the words go out as healing and deliverance and hope, that men and women will hear and know that they can turn to you. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Anoint this broadcast. Anoint this ministry. Anoint and continue to bless New Destiny Ministry and Evangelist Bernard. Hallelujah. And all that she's doing. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And soon to be Pastor Adrian Bernard. I've been calling her pastor for 3 years, but she will be ordained next month by Bishop Leo Lewis and Bishop Blake out of, I think Bishop Blake is out of Mississippi. No, he's out of New Orleans, I think. Anyway, Bishop Leo Lewis is out of Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama. And we're just thanking God for you know, the elevation and hold her up in prayer. It's not an easy thing to be a pastor, but once God has given you your assignment, you must fulfill it, no matter how hard or how you have trepidation about doing it. But anyway, I am so happy. Like I said, we got a late start this morning, and we're having a little technical difficulty. But to God be the glory, hallelujah, because our guest is here. I'm going to open up her line right now. Good morning, my sister. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we just are so excited about hearing your testimony and hearing the things that God has done for you. But before, even though this is rhetoric for me, but even though I say that our life is our testimony, you know, our testimony doesn't start when we get in church. It starts from the time that we are conceived. You know, a lot of us have stories where, you know, I was stillborn. I wasn't supposed to live. My mother was on bed rest. That's the beginning of your testimony. But we just want, before you give your testimony, Sister Natia, give us this. Are you married? Do you have children?
Okay, I can do that. My name is Natita Gaddy. I live here in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm 40 years old. Yes, I have children. Matter of fact, I've had 10 children. I have 7 that's living. I didn't know the Lord when I started having children. My idea of having a family was just to have my own because, mind you, I have a family, but I was in the system in foster care from the age of 8 until they emancipated me at age 16. And just to go briefly, just a short version of my testimony.
Just go on and give your testimony.
Well, praise the Lord. My name is Natita Gaddy, which I said earlier. I'm here in Little Rock, Arkansas. Briefly, I was raised. I was raised by my mother. I was born here, and my mother, mother of two, I have a sister, older sister, Natasha. And at the age of 8, I entered into the system, the welfare system of Arkansas, in safe custody because of my behavior. I was really a really bad child, you know. I was one of the worst, they say, in the system. And at age 8, I started receiving shock treatments to my brain in an institution here in Arkansas. And I was told at an early age that I would never function in society. I would never be able to live on my own. I would always be dependent on medication. They called me a child schizophrenic at a young age. And they diagnosed me to be mentally incompetent. And I went from institution to institution. I've been to every institution named in the state of Arkansas. Even out of the state of Arkansas, they send me to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Colorado Springs. And during this time, I would leave institutions and go into different foster homes where at some foster homes I was mistreated and abused, talked down to. You know, one occasion I remember a foster parent telling me that the only reason I was in their home is because they get a check for me and my own mama didn't want me. So as a young child, I grew up with the feelings of rejection and abandonment. And all my life, all I ever wanted was to be accepted and to be loved. And so growing up with this mentality and thinking that I was nothing and that no one wanted me, no one loved me, I had to face another reality that I grew up thinking that it was me against the world. And because of that thinking, that mind frame, I ended up being in a gang here in Arkansas at the age of 13. I had my first stabbing. I was stabbed in the back at age 13 years old, and it was only a quarter inch away from my, half an inch away from my lung. I could have lost my life. And so I grew up, I became a runaway here in Arkansas, running the streets of Little Rock and ended up being a man that was hobo that taught me how to jump the trains. So at age 13 years old, I traveled all the way to New York. I've been New York, California, everywhere the train would take me. I was everywhere, and God kept me. As I look back over my life now, I shouldn't have made it. And the man that showed me how to jump the trains, to travel from state to state, he was like an angel. And he never messed with me. He always showed me how to live and eat and how to function here and there. I was all over the place. Well, at the age of 16 years old, I came back to Arkansas, and the state emancipated me, made me a legal adult at age 16. And they told me that as of now on, at 16, you're legally responsible. We're going to try you as an adult if you commit a crime. And they put me in a place called independent living, that I would learn how to be responsible, that I would have a caretaker that would administer me medications. Well, I remember during that time that my grandmother had told me something, bless her heart and rest her soul. Her name was Nona Talley, and she told me that, baby, you are a survivor. The same blood that runs through my veins that God gave me the strength to care for these kids is the same God that's going to bring you through. Now, at that time, I didn't understand it. I always had a knowledge of God. I just didn't have a relationship. I knew about Jesus. I just did not know him. And so through that life at 17, I became pregnant with my first child. And I had that baby, and I was still wild in the streets, and I was selling drugs. And my mother stepped in and got my daughter. Her name is Legacy, and she took Legacy, and she loved Legacy to raise her as her own. Proceeded after Legacy, there came Trevion and Adair. There are two sons that one was born stillborn, another son. He lived 4 days but had a hole in his heart. Then I worked my first job, and I met a man in Memphis, Tennessee, who told me everything that I've ever wanted to know, that I thought I wanted to know about love. He was 37 years old, and I was 17. And he took me to Memphis, and that's where the abuse began. After I had another child, Legend, who didn't live for 4 months, his name was Legend, he began to beat me, and he would beat me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And all I knew to do was not to look up. I couldn't look at nobody. If I walked down the street, I had to hold my head down as I walked. And I was in bondage to a relationship. I never knew what a relationship was about because no one ever told me about keeping myself and that I was wonderfully and fearfully made. I knew nothing of these things as I was growing up. All I knew that it was me against the world. And during time, I had a set of twin boys, Jameer and Jamal, and I was in such an abusive relationship, I tried to find a way of escape, and that's when I got introduced to crack cocaine, and I was going on 20 years old. And I took this escape because I wanted to leave the existence of my life as I knew it. I didn't want to be a part of anything. I wanted to escape my madness because I was in pure madness. And during this time in my life, I was miserable. I was contemplating suicide. Several times have I tried, and it always failed. And during this time, my twins were going on 2 years old, and I was walking in the rain and crying, and I was telling God I was tired. I don't want to live anymore. And I was in Memphis, Tennessee, walking over the Danny Thomas Bridge, and I was going to the bridge to jump off the bridge. Hallelujah, praise you, oh God. And as I was walking in the middle of Danny Thomas headed to the bridge, there was a woman who stopped. And she stopped because I was walking in the middle of the highway. And when she opened her door to be concerned about me and all my mindset was not here. I was just in another world. I was headed to die. But this woman opened up a car door, and when she did this to me, she bumped me. But she was concerned. Me not being in the reality of the situation when she intervened. I say she interrupted me on my mission. And I assaulted this woman and I cut her throat. Mm. And that led me on national TV, Memphis Most Wanted. And I was arrested briefly. A week later, I was found and I was arrested. And I went before Judge Joe Brown on television, and he said that he was going to make an example out of me. And I know at that time that I was struggling. I was 4 months pregnant when I caught this charge. Matter of fact, I had my baby while I was incarcerated. During this time, my twins were in the state's custody at this time, and I got news that they were going to give my children up for adoption. I was at my last end. I had no hope. I just didn't care. And while being incarcerated, you know, committed me to Poplar and Dunlap, the mental institution in Memphis, Tennessee, to do an evaluation. They said that I have a history of mental illness, and that they're going to give me off on whatever that is. And so I went to this mental institution, and as I got there, all they did was shoot me full of Dorazine, and I was immobile to do anything. I was there for 6 months, and they shot me full of these drugs. And one time the head nurse, she left, went on vacation, and the people that were there stopped administering me this medicine. I came to myself, and I was tired of them folks shooting me with all that crazy medication. I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And so the lady came back, and I was at myself, and she came in the room to administer me this shot. I took the shot from her, and I administered to her. And that's what led me back to jail, and I ended up getting sentenced to 38 years at 30% in prison in Tennessee. I did 10 years, 11 months, and 9 days in the penitentiary. And during this time in the penitentiary, the first 6 years, I could never sleep. I always had nightmares every night. I could never sleep at night. I would only sleep during the daytime. And I remember one day in that cell at Nashville, Max Unit in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was rocking back and forth, and I was crying. And I talked to God. I said, God, if you are a real God,
hallelujah,
if you are the real God that everybody speaks about, Lord, you just come in and allow me to sleep. I just want to sleep. I'm tired of seeing all these faces of people that I've harmed. Because, you know, to tell the truth, I did a lot of harm in my younger life. And I had nightmares for 6 years. I cried every night just to sleep. And I had an out-of-body experience. Thank you, Lord. And I found myself sitting next to some water. And the water was so beautiful. It shined like diamonds and crystals. And there was a man in all white, but I couldn't see his face. His face was so bright that I couldn't recognize him, but I knew he was there. And he came to me in this out-of-body experience. He came to me. And he said, my child, how can I forgive you when you never asked? I have plans for your life. I have purpose things in your life. And I'm Jesus, and I love you. And this was my experience. And I met him that day. For the first time, it was real to me. He came to me, and he sat beside me. And that was the first time in all those years I felt peace. I had comfort. I experienced a peace that surpasses, we talk about it in scripture, that surpasses all understanding. I met the Lord for myself. That's how much he loves us. He makes a way for us. And, you know, I got out of prison in 2005 after being locked up over a decade. And I was welcomed. I was embraced by my sister. And soon after, I had an altercation with my oldest daughter, which led me to be homeless in the streets of Arkansas once again. And during this time, I got into again another addiction, a crack addiction. And I found myself being not vulnerable to the addiction, but I was very violent because I didn't understand why things were as they were. And so I was violent. I fought my way through. I would kick in doors. I would rob. I would do anything to get this drug. And then one time I was staying on the corner here in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I seen a vision. Like, I was another out-of-body experience, and I seen me as an older woman, and I was walking back and forth, and I was seasoned. I was older, and it looked like I had peace and I had joy, And this is in my addiction. And I was standing on a corner, and God showed me a vision of a multitude of people. I didn't understand the vision at that time, but I remember being in the crack house, and I would say, this too shall pass. This is only temporary. Scream it out. And people began to get scared. They would run away from me. And that's when I began to get barred, banned from going to get drugs. People, when I tell them something, they say, we don't want your kind around us. We don't want your kind around us. And I began to walk and talk to God through my addiction, asking him to deliver me. If you're this real God, Lord, you'll make a way for me. And I found myself in another pregnancy, and I was pregnant with my son now, Emmanuel, who will be 8 on Monday. And I found myself calling out to God. I said, Lord, you know that I'm sprung out. And here I am again, having a baby. And I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm not worthy of this baby. I told myself this. I'm not worthy of this child, Lord. I don't deserve this baby. I'm no good. I can't raise him. I can't be a mother. And I cried out and I cried out. I said, Lord, help me. Well, God did what he said he was going to do. He said, if I call on him, he will be there. And I found myself going to treatment and rehab, and I was trying to understand this addiction thing that people talk about is a disease. And I said, Lord, I ain't got no disease. I just like smoking drugs. It's not a disease. And so during this time, I went to treatment, and I got healthy. I got well in my spirit, and the addiction stopped. And I found myself going back to that same relationship, the man that knocked out my teeth and split my head open, and he was sitting in his addiction. I'm not, I think I can go back, and he can see how happy I was out of this thing, that he would want the same thing I want. How do you know that was a lie? Straight from the pit of hell. And I entered back into this relationship, and I found myself back again in addiction and miserable. And I lost my son. By the grace of God, God told me, he said, Emmanuel is a chosen vessel. If you don't raise him in the fear of the Lord and to know me, I'm going to remove him, but I'm going to be a faithful God. I'm going to have him to where he's in your life. He's with your family. And that's exactly what God did. I had some family that stepped up and got Emmanuel. Then once again, I found myself pregnant again. This time, I said, Lord, here I am again, Lord. What am I going to do? Here I am pregnant, on drugs. My other son's gone. What am I going to do about this baby? And I had a dream about a cousin who didn't have any children. And I prayed and I asked God. I said, Lord, you know I'm not worthy. Lord, I can't take care of this baby. All this time, instead of being encouraged in the Lord, I was discouraged that I couldn't make it. I couldn't accomplish anything. I would never amount to anything. And I couldn't bring a child into my misery. But I don't believe in abortion. So I went forth and I had this baby. And my cousin was there for me the whole pregnancy. And she adopted this child as her own. And once again, I was back out there in the races. I was out there trying to hide the guilt and the shame that I felt of all the bad errors and mistakes that I made in my life. Excuse me. Couldn't make any excuse of why things were. It's just the way I chose them to be. I made the choice. You know, God gave us free will, and I chose this path that I was on at this time. Well, later on, I got out of this bad relationship, but at the end of this relationship, I come to find out that I was pregnant. And this time I said, no, Lord, I don't want this baby, Lord. And God spoke to me. He said, you can begin again. And I didn't understand that. He said, leave everything. He said, leave the man, leave the house, leave the car, leave the furniture. He said, I'm going to do a new thing in you. This baby that you're going to have is going to be a delight before others to see, and she's going to be a blessing in your life. And I left everything. I said, Lord, well, where do I go? What do I do? And I had injuries because of this abusive relationship. I had a black eye, a swollen lip, so I called the women's abuse shelter, and I told them my situation. And they said, if you can get here by 4 o'clock, we'll have a bed for you. Well, mind you, I had a car, but the man had put sugar in my tank. I couldn't drive it. He messed up my car. I had no way to get there. And God told me, he said, open up your door. And I opened up my front door, and there was a woman sitting outside my door. She said, baby, look like you're going through something. Tell me what's going on with you. And I began to cry. And I said, I got to get out of here. I got to leave. I said, I got to leave before he get out of work at 4:30. And she said, baby, where you going? I said, I'm going to this women's abuse shelter across town, but I don't have a way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The woman told me, she said, ma'am, she said, I'm homeless, and I live in my car. And every night I pray and ask God, where does he want me to park so that I can sleep where no one would mess with me? And she said, last night the Lord told me to come over here in these apartments and park right here. I said, where you park? The woman was parked right in front of my door. The woman was right in front of my door. And that was my way of escape. You know, he makes a way that don't seem normal to the average man. But he sent a way of escape by an angel to sit at my front door and sleep in her car. And she was waiting for me when I opened my door. I left and I went to this women's abuse shelter. And I hadn't been to church. I hadn't walked inside of a church in years. And there was a church directly across the street from this shelter. And I went to this church because they had a program for the women from the shelter. And it was on Wednesday night. And I felt awkward going to church. I felt unclean. I felt nasty. I felt gross. I wasn't worthy to step inside of a church. I went that first Wednesday. And I said, God, I don't know why I'm here. I can't do this, Lord. I went back that Sunday, and they did an altar call, and I went to the altar, and I got down on my knees, and me and God had a long conversation, and I asked him to forgive me for not knowing him, not trusting him. And God told me, he said, Nikita, Nikita, you are my beloved, and you can begin again. I never look back. I never look back. And so I had my baby. I moved into an apartment with nothing. And God told me, trust me, everything that you have need of before the child is here, you're going to have everything. And sure enough, I moved into an apartment with nothing but a recliner chair and my Bible, and a clock radio. And my baby was born December 27th. By the time my baby got here, within 6 months, I had a house full of furniture. I had a baby bed. I had everything that my baby had need of. God had provided. And I would rock, and I would cry, and I would rock. I never watched TV during my pregnancy. I would rock, and I would talk to God, and I would pray. And I began to come upon the word of God where it said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And I talked to God. I said, Lord, if your word said that you have not given me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, Lord, I need you to keep my mind. Stay on you because you said you'll keep me in perfect peace. Lord, I need to really know that you're real. I want to know that I can trust you because I have been hurt so many times. But he said, when the word said that your mother may leave you and forsake you, your father, it's true. But I didn't understand back then what I know now about the Lord. But today I can tell you, God be the glory of him. Because I wanted to know the wisdom and the depth of God. I wanted to know who he was. And when he said that I'm not a man that I cannot not lie, nor the son of man that I have to repent, I wanted to really, really get close to God, so I never fasted. I heard about a fast, and I read upon a fast, so I took it upon myself, and I prayed as God's blessing over a fast. I went on a 7-day fast to trust God with my life, with my finances, with my relationships, to restore me to my children that I just gave away and didn't believe that I could love them and take care of them because I was so caught up in spiritual warfare over my life. And I went on a 7-day fast, and I talked to God. I prayed. About the fourth day in this fast, I went in my bathroom, and I closed the door, and I got on my knees. And the presence of God came into that bathroom with me, and my insides began to quiver. And he said, peace be still, my child. Uh-huh. And he was there. His presence was so overwhelming that my insides, my organs, I felt my organs quaking within my body. On the last day of the 7-day fast, I had a major stroke. I was paralyzed. I was breastfeeding my baby. And at the same time I was having the stroke, my prayer warrior, her name is Kalia, bless her heart, and my friend Sandra, they came over to the house at the same time. They came at the door at the same time as I was going into the stroke. Sandra, thank God for her, was able to get my baby. And my prayer warrior took me to the hospital. By the time I got to the hospital, they put me in triage and took me to MRI and a CAT scan. So let me go back a little bit. During this fast, I asked God to restore me to my family, my real family, the family that, my blood family. The same day I had this stroke, and it ended up at St. Vincent Hospital, my 9-year-old grandmother was at the same hospital. Auntie looked up and seen my name on the patient board. And I looked up, unable to speak, unable to move, and my whole family was surrounded my bed, my mother, my cousins, my aunties. Nobody but God can do something that phenomenal. But I was laying there on that bed, and a woman came into my room, Evangelist Sherry, and she said, "Sister, you've never been humble. God wants to humble you. Do you believe that God can heal you like he healed the woman with the issue of blood? Do you believe that he got you here for purpose?" And I tried to talk, but everything was coming out gibberish. My mouth was twisted. And she said, "Don't try to talk. That's your problem. You talk too much." She said, "Start thanking God for your healing right here and right now." And as I was laying there on that table, on that bed, I tried to force my fingers and toes to move, but nothing moved. I couldn't move anything. And I laid there and I began to thank God. I said, "Lord, I know that you're real, and I know that you told me you're not a man, and you cannot lie, nor the son of man, that you have to repent. So I thank you, Lord, for my healing." I was laying up on that bed, and I was praying to God, tears rolling down my eyes. And then the Lord just came into my room and told me that they seen a major stroke on the right side of my brain, that I would may never walk again, may never talk again. They put me in intensive care. And I remember a man from my church and a friend of mine came to the intensive care. They were the first people to come in my room, and they were hearing the doctors telling me that I may never walk or talk again. And he came over. He looked down at me. His name was Ken. He came down, looked at me. He said, "Nikki, I couldn't talk. My mouth was twisted. I was in a major stroke. Left fingers couldn't move. Left arm couldn't move. My toes couldn't wiggle. My fingers, I was just there." And I remember laying there, and scriptures kept just replaying over and over in my mind. I kept on just quoting the word in my mind, in my spirit. And God, you're a healer. You're going to heal me. I need to know that you're this real God, this awesome God, this omnipotent Father, this great King, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You're this real God. You're going to heal me. As I laid there the first day, I laid there and I cried and I prayed. I cried and I prayed. I kept seeing my brand new baby. He had just given me another life with. I kept seeing her face. I kept seeing my eldest daughter and him just fixing this relationship that we didn't have. And I kept praying and crying out to him in my spirit. The second day passed and they were doing all kind of tests on me. The neurologist giving me the same report. But don't you know, glory be to God. At 5:17 in the morning, the Spirit of the Lord came up in the room. He said, "Get up and walk and glorify me in this place." And all of a sudden, I had tingling come down my legs and my fingers began to tingle like they had been asleep. And I began to sit up in my bed. Now, mind you, I couldn't move. I was paralyzed on my left side, totally paralyzed. And I began to get up, and I began to get the tingling in my legs and in my arms, and my fingers began to tingle, and they began to move. My nerves, you know, were so tender that when I touched my fingers, they hurt. The nerves was waking up in my body. And as I got up, the machine started ticking and going off, and the nurses ran. "What's going on, miss?" And they ran out. "This can't be. And they ran out the room, and And next thing I know, the neurologist and all these Indian doctors come in the room, and they said, what is this? What is this? What is going on? This cannot be. This cannot be. Mind you, I hadn't spoken since I was in intensive care. I couldn't speak. My mouth was twisted. God, not only did he transform my life, my heart, and my mind that day, he did something so phenomenal against man's understanding and knowledge. He healed me. In the midst of doctors who said that I would never walk again and never talk again, and they said, this cannot be so. But in doing this, God allowed my 96-year-old grandmother to be at the same hospital with me. And a man, they called my primary care doctor, and he came up there, and his name was Dr. Tommy Love. He came in there, and he said, Miss Daddy, I know your whole family, and I know exactly what's going on. He said, the only thing I can say to these doctors is, to continue in your faith. And the doctors, they couldn't understand what was going on. So the neurologist said, well, we're going to move you back to the intensive care because somebody else needs this bed. Well, they moved me on the same floor as my grandmother was on. And when they moved me on this floor, the Lord told me to get up and go around there and pray with my grandmother. As I was limping and I was on my IV cane, and I limped around to my grandmother's room. He said, you've never prayed with your grandmother, and your grandmother's always prayed for you. You pray for her second wind to come in. I didn't understand what that meant, but I sat there next to her bed. I held her hand, and they said she came in with a stroke also. And I held my grandmother's hand for the first time in all my life. I prayed with my grandmother. And my grandmother had been refusing to eat for months. They said she wasn't eating anything, and she was just giving up. And I prayed with being my 96-year-old grandmother. And I said, Lord, I said, I know today that you have all power. And greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. So, Lord, now I speak life over my grandmother. She will live and not die. And the other works of the Lord. And at the time when I was praying this prayer with my grandmother, something left my body. My virtue literally left my body. I was so weak, I could barely make it out of to my room. But I made it. I laid down. I went to sleep. When I woke up as if I had just been in a nod or like a light nap, because my body was light. The heaviness in my arms and my legs was completely gone. When I got out the bed and stepped down, I could walk normal. I had my walk back. I had my talk back. So I pressed around there to my grandmother's room. Now, mind you, she hadn't eaten in weeks. As I was walking through the door, I heard my grandmother clearly say, y'all give me some solid pepper. This food ain't got no season on it. Now, this is a woman who had been refusing to eat for months. And when I walked into the room, my grandmother stopped eating. And she pointed at me and she said, she's practicing, she's practicing, she's practicing. And my aunties all gathered in my grandmother's room and said, Nikki, what is she talking about? I said, all I know is the Lord is good. I don't have any answers to your questions because I just don't know. And I walked around my room. I said, Lord, my grandmother, she's eating, she's up, she's talking. He said, she has her second wind. And I went back around to my room and they kept me. 15 more days, they gave me every test imaginable in that hospital because they said there was no reason why I was up and walking and talking. And when the doctors came into the room, they said, this is not so, this cannot be. I said, let me tell you something, doctor, but it is. Jesus is alive and well.
Yes.
And a woman came into my room, a lactation specialist, and she said, ma'am, since you had your stroke, you can't breastfeed your baby anymore. And I began to witness to this woman about the goodness of Jesus. And the woman began to share with me that she had been a devout Catholic her whole life, that she had prayed to St. Andrew and St. Christopher. I said, baby, that's all fine and well. I said, but there's only one way to the Father, and that's through his son Jesus. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes. And she said, I want to know the same Jesus you know. And during this transition in my life, God not only healed me in a place where there were unbelievers, or believers of not believers in Jesus Christ, the risen King, there are believers in the Andrew and Bartholomew and Mother Mary. I said, baby, ain't no in-between. You got to get through the go through the Son to get to the Father. There is no in-between. And as I left the hospital and I got home, and it was like God had transformed my mind, and he gave me, I asked God to give me a new heart, because my heart had been hardened so many years behind all the hardships in my life. And I asked him to give me a new mind, a new heart. And I said, if your word said that the gifts of the Spirit is gentleness and meekness and long-suffering and kindness. And I said, Lord, I've never had those attributes. I've never experienced having love and peacefulness and gentleness. I've always been a beast. So, Lord, give me a new heart. And God gave me a new heart. He transformed the old me. It was no longer the worldly me. It was the godly me. But I needed more than just me spending time with him. I need to be around a body of people that believe the same beliefs and practice the same practices of God and would build me up and encourage me in the things of God. And I got introduced to a church that I'm a member of now. And I have a blessed minister, leader, Pastor Larry Gregory. When I first started going to this church, I was introduced to it through the addiction ministries. And I started going to the addiction, and I started learning about conquering addiction and living every day blessed. And I didn't understand about being more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So I needed to learn more about this Christ. And I wanted to be in a place where I could grow in Christ, not stay stagnant in where I was. I wanted to know more about him, to know the things of God, to become a woman of God. I wanted to be a phenomenal woman. But I didn't know how to get there until I was led to where I'm at now. And by the grace of God, I was placed amongst a body of people that they didn't judge me when I got there. They nurtured me. I had an awesome husband and wife, Elder and Mrs. Hughes, that they nurtured me in God. They loved me. It's like they held my hand and then gently caressed me. And that allowed me to grow and to be open-minded to the things of God, because, you know, sometimes when we've been in our flesh and in the world so long, the things of God seem so surreal. It doesn't seem like I'm capable of living this life that God had planned for me. Well, during this transition, glory be to God that now I have a daughter that will be 5 this year, the same daughter that I was afraid that I couldn't make it with her. I couldn't raise her. I have a daughter now that goes around that lays hands on people to pray for them. Now, this is what God has blessed me with. He gave me a new heart, a new way of living, a new way of talking, even a new way of thinking. Because, you know, the old, he tries to creep in sometimes and tell me that I could do some of those old things and behind closed doors and no one would ever know. But, see, I serve a God that is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he's everywhere at all times, beholding the good and the evil. So when I would go to church and I would come home and I thinking that, well, you know, this just a little touch. I just need to be touched just a little bit by this particular man. You know, this is real. And so God needed to show me that I am a jealous God, and no one comes before me. And he began to minister to my spirit. And God blessed a woman in my life. I asked God for a real friend. And God gave me a friend that we're totally opposite, because I've never had a friend. Growing up in the system, you're shuffled to and fro. You're from one foster home to another institution, to another institution, to where I became a real live runaway. And God gave me a friend that sits closer than a brother. He gave me a friend that loved me and accepted me for who I am. Because, you know, when I found out of being peculiar, so I would tell the doctors, they would say, well, you're bipolar, you're schizoaffective. I said, no, the word of God said I'm peculiar. And let me tell you what peculiar means. Peculiar means that I've been purchased and I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I've been purchased and I've been bought and I'm sold out. So no, I'm not crazy. No, I'm not bipolar. No, I'm not schizophrenic. No, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. I am above and not beneath. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So when I would go in these places, the mental health facilities, and they would tell me that we want to try you on this medicine and we want to give you this medicine because your history shows us that you need it. I said, but let me tell you about the God I serve. God, I said, if I keep my mind stayed on him, he's going to keep me in perfect peace. So you can call me whatever you want to, but I know whose I am today. I know that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you take that medicine, and you take it, and you tell me how it make you feel, and I'll talk to you later. So this is how God, he changed my character. I believe in his word, so when they tell me something that's opposite of what God tells me, I tell them, I say, okay, you doctors that know the wisdom of the book but don't know the wisdom of God, I'll tell you about my God, the ones that said I would never make it, never amount to anything. God be the glory, because he has restored me to myself. I am not my own. I belong to the Lord. And because I know the truth today, I have, he said, I've given you authority. And I said, Lord, you know, when I was bold in the world, I was kicking in those and knocking people across their head and cutting folks. I said, Lord, I don't want that attribute. I want you to remove them and give me meekness and kindness and to love someone. I don't know what love is. But when I knew the greatest love of all, who laid down his life for me, a sinner like me, that I went through life thinking no one loved me if my own mother would give me away. And I had people to remind me that the only reason I was in their home was because they got a check for me. How could someone love someone like me? But God, thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
But God can love someone who had no hope. He can love me and give me a sound mind.
Yes,
after so many years of being told that I was nothing, so many years of being told that I couldn't make it, so many years of rejection, so many years, and God, nobody but Jesus, nobody but Jesus could give me joy that I've never known, could give me a peace that surpasses all understanding, could love me like I've always wanted to be loved. And if there's anyone in this thing who don't know the Lord, please listen to me. Jesus is real. He took someone that said I was against, all odds were against me. 10 years in prison. I laughed. I had 10 children. I have 7 that's alive, and I'm only able to care for one. I was in the streets, homeless and addicted. I was abused. I've been shot and cut up. And God kept me. The same God that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. It's the same God that delivered me and healed me from a major stroke. Even the neurologist couldn't figure out what was going on with me. They said I would never walk again, but God be the glory. I'm able to walk. I'm able to run at a slow pace. I'm able to glorify God in everything that I do. We serve a risen God and a risen Savior.
Right.
He's alive and he's well, and he's doing a great thing for the people that call on him. He said, if we call on the name of Jesus, we shall be saved.
Yeah.
Believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that he's Lord. Yes, he's real. He's alive and he's well.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know something.
Praise you.
Ah, thank you, Lord. I put on Facebook this morning, and I never put this on there. I put on there, we have a phenomenal testimony. And you said that word over and over again. Sister Gaddis, I pray God for your testimony. Thank God that you, that the divine connection, that God gave us a divine connection so that you could come on to give your testimony about how God can, oh my God. I'm going to open up the lines. I see our overall host, Pastor Adrian Bernard. I'm going to open up her line, and then I have my co-host Beth on, but God saved her, rescued her, and delivered her from an accident that she should have died from. I'm going to open up Pastor Adrian first. Pastor Adrian, are you there? Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to open up Sister Anita's line. Are you there, Sister Anita?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Are you blown away by that testimony?
From what I heard, yes, God is good. And I could relate to the majority of your testimony because I've been in them shoes. I had a stroke at 36.
Amen.
The son. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. And God, he just, again, the goodness of the Lord, kept me in a car accident where I found out 3 days ago I should have been decapitated or cut in half. Nobody never told me that part.
Thank you,
Jesus. And I'm still here.
For God be the glory.
Hallelujah. 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 Sister, your testimony is awesome. You give it anywhere and everywhere you can. Because somebody needs to hear that and know that God can deliver you.
Yes.
He will set you free. He will give you a new heart.
Yes.
He will give you a new walk.
Yes.
He will give you a new step in life.
Yes.
God, for you this morning. Praise God. Amen. I thank God for you. That was awesome what I heard. That was awesome.
Yes. Well, Sister Gaddis, you have a ministry. She does have a ministry where she goes around and gives her testimony. You want to tell us about that?
Praise God.
Well, on several occasions I've been asked to come and share. And what I have a picture of me in my addiction, and I have a picture of myself now. And when I say I don't look like what I've been through, the resurrected life. And the amazing thing about it is that, you know, to look at me, people, when they first see me, their first assumption is that I'm snobbish and I'm stuck up. And I tell people, I say, God gave me a new look. He gave me beauty for ashes and joy for my sorrow. And I share with them that I was never beautiful in my addiction. I wasn't beautiful when I was in the world. I became the world. The world was in me, and I lived it. I lived that life. And when he restored me, he gave me a look that is kind of distinguished because I'm my own self. I'm arisen. I've been reborn, and the new look, it shows a woman of a creed.
All right,
I never had that. I never knew what a woman of creed meant. My definition of a woman of creed is a woman that has been through it, and I've been washed by the blood. See, I came in as a sinner with red, and I got washed and became a saint with white. He washed me white as snow. And so the woman of creed is the woman that walks in her righteousness, and that I know whose I am and who I belong to. And because of the authority and the anointing that he has in and over my life, that I walk in my worthy. I'm worthy today. Because I serve a worthy and awesome God. I'm worthy today because God is worthy, and that if I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that he made me all over. He made me anew and afresh. Then I walk in the newness of Christ. When I leave my house, I say I represent the Lord. So when I leave my house, I'm going to represent to the best of my ability. So when I step out, when they see me, I represent Christ. They say, why you always fancy and dress up like that? Baby, I represent the Lord. What you mean?
Hallelujah.
He made me over and he made me new.
I love it.
I'm going to tell you something. He's amazing. You know, and the amazing thing about it that he said, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. So every time I open up my mouth, I'm talking about the goodness of Jesus. I said, baby, I don't look like what I've been through, but know that God be the glory, because without the test, there is no testimony. And if he said he can do it, he is not a man. He cannot lie. So if God's word says it, believe it, because it's true. He made a believer out of a lunatic. The world said I was a lunatic. God said I'm his beloved. And so because of that, I walk in knowing that I am beloved of God, that I'm loved of God, and that anything that happens today in my life has been ordained and preordained by God. So when anything come against me, like at the workplace, when the enemy was coming against me because I'm a Christian, I stood on my morale, and I stood on the word of God. And I would walk around the store where I work at, declaring and decreeing some things. God, you told me no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, my God, you will condemn. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. You say you raise up a standard against those who come against me. So, Lord, I need you to raise that standard in this workplace. I need you to come in like a mighty wind and watch it, Lord, your presence to come in this place. And you come with me, Lord. You go to work with me, Lord. Lord, when I'm driving down the street, Lord, when I'm getting off an exit, Lord, I said, Lord, I'm getting on the freeway. I need you to make a way for me. And if the road be clear, the God I serve, he makes a way in ways that is unknown to man. So if you want to taste the goodness of Jesus in the land of the living, just be still. Get to know him, because his word is true and is alive. Because the word became breathing and living to me. I would read the word. It became breathing, and the word became alive. I began to read the word, and the more I put it in, the more I breathe, the better I breathe. I became alive. I began to thirst and hunger after his righteousness. I began to seek after him for everything, not just some things. I mean, everything. When I was experiencing lack in my life, and he talked about the principles of tithing and offering, I began to tithe. Then there were times when I would question myself, and God told me, he said, a double-minded man, stable in all his ways.
Go ahead.
So I said, Lord, if I'm double-minded, Lord, clean my heart and make me to walk upright in your precepts and your way. I need to learn precept upon precept and line upon line. So show me how to learn of you and to walk in you so that I may represent you, that you're worthy, O God. Let me be walking in uprightness, Lord, that I can glorify you in all, not some. Not at times, but at all times, I would praise the Lord. At all times. Oh, hallelujah, oh God, I praise you even now, Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's someone that's listening who don't know you in the midst of their sins or their doubting that you're real. But God, you made me a new woman, a woman of creed, a woman of virtue, the woman that talks about the virtuous woman. In Proverbs, and I would read that Proverbs, and he said she maketh her husband rich and brings him no sorrow, and she takes care of her household. And I would read this scripture, and I would cry. And I said, Lord, I want to be a virtuous woman. I've always been a woman that if I laid down with a man, I thought that was love. But, Lord, I want to be a virtuous woman. And I would cry until it happened. I would cry and pray until it happened. I would cry and pray until it happened. He said, come boldly to my throne. And I would go boldly to God. I said, God, your word said, a virtuous woman. Lord, I want to be that woman. I cried until it happened. I prayed and cried until it happened. And gradually, over time, I began to have the attributes of a virtuous woman. I said, Lord, you said a man that findeth the wife finds a good thing. I said, well, I've never been wife material, but today I am. So, Lord, I pray for a God that can love me and accept me for who I am. I've never met a stranger. So, Lord, the ministry that's in my body, that in my spirit, Lord, that you will send me a husband who can add to my life, that I can continue to glorify you in the ways in which I do, because I've been told that. And one church told me, a lady stopped me from praising God. She said, baby, it don't take all that. I said, baby, let me tell you something. If you know what I've been through,
hallelujah,
you would praise him too.
Thank
I said,
you.
Because he said he inhabits the praises of his people. He said when we praise him, we, you know, praise confuses the enemy, so I'm going to praise him at all times.
Yes.
I'm going to praise him even when I can't see my way through. I praise him because I learned that one thing about it, if you read the word of God and you apply the principles of God,
right,
and you let him work in your life, then
right,
the word, the promises of God begin to manifest. See,
yes,
I used to read the word of God, but I didn't apply it to my life. But see, I made it a daily application, just like putting out an application for a job. I made it a daily reprieve every day to spend some time with him, that I may walk the way he wants me to walk, that I may talk the way he wants for me to talk, that I may live the way he wants me to live, that everything I do may be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Not when the doors are closed. Even when I'm in my house, I'm praising him. When I'm in my car, I'm praising him. Every car I didn't have since I had a car, the Lord then gave me. So, I mean, it went from driving a 1990s model, till I'm up in the 2000, and because of his infinite wisdom, he told me my divine card would be infinity, and I'm going to trust God for it. So I'm believing the best is yet to come. See, I'm a sucker for the truth. See, the truth has set me free, because men said I'd never make it. They lied, and I believed that lie for a long time, but when I read in the word where he said, I'm not a man, and I cannot lie. Ooh, they captivated my spirit. Ooh, if you're not a man, you cannot lie. And you're not the son of man, that you have to repent. And your word is true. I can call you on your word. So, Lord, I'm going to read your word. I'm going to study your word. I'm going to be obedient to your way.
Yeah.
So, Lord, when your word says it, Lord, I'm expecting from you because you're a God that can't lie. So I'm going to trust you for everything that's going to happen in my life. So right now I'm just in prayer for restoration with my twins, Jameer and Jamal, and for my daughter Essence. I haven't seen my twins since they were 2 years old, and they will be turning 20 years old, June 24th. And I'm praying for restoration. My daughter that I haven't seen since she was a baby, 4 days old, I'm praying that God will restore me to her, who she'll be turning 18. February the 25th. So I'm praying for restoration. I'm praying that if he can restore me to this life, that he can restore me, that everything that the devil stole from me, he's going to give it back to me 100-fold. I'm believing for God to work a miracle in my life and in the lives of others who can take God in his word to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because he's a risen king, and he's still alive and he's still well, and that he can use me in a time such as this. I want to be used, Lord. The world used me up.
Amen.
But now, Lord, I want you to use me, Lord. I want you to use me as your vessel, that I can be a light in the midst of a dark world, that I can walk in the boldness and the knowing that you have my back, that you said that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You haven't left me yet, and you never will forsake me. So I want to walk in the boldness. I was bold when I was in the world, so why not be bold for the Lord? He's just as good. He's not just taste and see of his goodness. You know, you're one of them commercials. They have a commercial about a burger or a sandwich or a new beer or a new wine. You go taste and try that one. Try Jesus. He tastes better than anything you ever had in your life. He's that good.
Oh, taste and see.
That good. He's just that good.
Yes. I remember when sister would jump up during the testimony service, and she would say, "Oh, taste and see," and then she'd go, "Better than Campbell soup."
I know that's right. If you just play the tape back, and people to look back over their lives and they see whether they error their decisions, because God, he's not going to stump on our free will. He's not that God. He's not going to invade us. We have to invite him in. And so for those who are wondering and study, going through the repetitive cycle over and over again, the same thing keeps happening when there is no change, when there is no Christ, then your life will be just like it is. You know, nothing will change. But when Christ comes in and you seek and you hunger after his righteousness, that you may behold in him and become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, when that begins to take place and we begin to be molded and shaped in the image of Christ, then things begin to change and shift in our lives. You know, one prayer that I hold on true to is the Jabez prayer. And in First Chronicles, they talk about First Chronicles 4:10, where it says, "And oh, that you bless me indeed, and territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I may not cause pain." Because as I look back over my life, everywhere that I lived as a child and as a teenager, as a runaway, I inflicted pain wherever I went. And today, by the grace of God, I can truly say that my life has been changed. And I call God Jehovah Jireh because he's my provider. He's my refuge from a storm. He's my strong tower. He's my healer and my redeemer. He is everything to me today. And I'm just so grateful that he loved me enough, that he fashioned me. He allowed me to go through everything that I went through so that when he brought me out, and for those who knew me then and to know me now, they know that God is real and he is alive and he is real.
Yes, I was reading on yesterday about El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. Yes, the one that can do miracles, the one that brought a baby out of a 90-year-old woman. Okay, so that's the God that we serve. Oh, boy, if they missed it today, if they missed it today, Renita, they missed the testimony, didn't they?
Hallelujah! Yes, they did. But praise God, I was able to catch it.
Well,
the amazing thing about a testimony is that he said we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when the truth of my life is the truth. And I don't add to nor do I take away. Sometimes I don't tell all because some things don't need to be said. God knows all. So because I serve a real God and a true and living God, I speak truth. And I say, God, I glorify you in my truth because today my reality is that you have remade me and you remolded me and you're still purging me and cleansing me and shaping me because he's going to do a perfection in my life that when God gets through with me, oh, glory be to God, because I want to do everything that's pleasing in his sight. So that means that the purging that has to take place, the fasting that must go forth, is for him perfecting me what he wants to perfect. So I'll give glory and all praise to God Almighty because he's so real. He's just real. You know, we say these men that come in our life are real. They're the real thing, and they can do this. I mean, no, baby, if Jesus can't do it, can't nobody do it. Because he fixed it for me, he can fix it for you.
Amen.
He's alive and he's well. I'm praying that my husband is on the internet listening this morning.
Thank God.
Oh, God. You know what? He allowed me to humor because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Well, Sister Renita was in it could have been a fatal car crash, and she's my co-host, and she has every second Saturday when she is released to be able to do it. She has a powerful testimony, and I mean I don't see how people can hold and sit on their testimonies because they are life-changing. They yeah. let you see
I don't
what
think
God
some people know how to release their testimonies unto other people. They don't, I guess, because I had that problem. I didn't know where to start, where to begin. What do I say? You know, I think that's a lot of it for some people. They don't know where to begin.
I don't know. I was during the time that I first got saved, and it's been over 30 years. We had testimonies in the church, and you were
uh-huh.
able to give your testimony then. And that my love of testimony service is what led God to this. We're in our third year of hosting this They Overcame broadcast, and we're here so that people can be encouraged, enlightened, you know, get to know God, get to know, you know, the power of God, so that when they have issues that they come up against, they can say, well, I listened to Sister Renita's testimony, and God was able to do it for her. I listened to Sister Nikita's testimony, and God did it for her, so he could do it for me. That's why we're here. We're not here just to hear people's story, to hear, you know, to be nosy, to know what's happening in people's lives. We're here so that God can get the glory. And he has truly, truly, truly been glorified today. I was thinking as you were talking, Sister Nikita, I said that, you know, we used to say, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. But we say, naturally, your hands didn't change, but your hands changed, didn't they, sis?
Yes.
Your hands, your you said that you look. I the picture that I see on Facebook, the one that I put on my Facebook page, I said this woman doesn't look like she's gone through anything.
I told you again. You said beautiful answer, didn't
you? Yes,
ma'am.
Joy Pasavo. And I must compliment my mother. My mother is a beautiful woman. And I looked in the mirror 3 years ago and she was looking back at me. And,
yes.
You know, I don't have the relationship with my mother as I desire, but my mother is a praying woman now, and she's a saved woman. And my mother is a woman of peace today. And I thank God that she was able to live to see the transformation in my life, because, you know, I don't have any regrets over my life. I had some issues growing up, but today, as I've gotten a relationship with Christ, as my mother has forgiven me, so have I forgiven her, and that's why I've been able to live. I continue to seek out those that I've hurt, but, you know, I ask God that he will restore me to the people that in my past life that I've harmed, because I was a wreck. I really was I was a very violent woman, because I thought lashing out was how I dealt with rejection and abandonment issues. And today, because I have been accepted into the kingdom of God, I don't have those issues anymore, that I found my place. I felt like I was alone in a big old world, and I come to find out that being in the world, you are alone, but, you know, being in Christ, that I would never be alone. You know, he sets us apart. And even then, I was set apart because he had purpose for my life, and he had designs on my life even then. And yet I had to live out the purpose and the plan he had for me, but I had to go through something to get one then, because I was, like I said, I was hard-headed. I was angry. I was bold. And that ingredient together, it's a recipe for disaster, which is nice. Is a recipe for disaster. And so I was a disaster. I was like an earthquake coming through a small town. And I wreaked havoc everywhere that I went. Because the average person with people with guns and all this stuff, well, when I had the gun put to my head, I asked the man what taking so long to pull the trigger. I had no fear. But God kept me. And he will continue to keep me. You know, he's restored me to my brother, my little baby brother. And I thank God for that, because I was walking down the street with my addiction and a cab pulled up. And I went to my brother's mother to ask her where could I find my brother when I got out of prison. And she told me that I wasn't welcome, and she wasn't going to tell me where my brother was. And I walked away from that door feeling dispounded and stumped upon. And I cried walking down the street. And next thing I know, my brother drove upon me. And that's how God restored me to my baby brother. So When I say God can do anything to fail, he can and he will. He said we have to request it. We have not because we ask not. And because I ask him that he serves such a faithful God. And I ask him, I don't ask him for my own self. I ask him for restoration with my family. And he took a stroke that led my family to be there for my grandmother. In turn, as I was being taken to ICU, my family was on the elevator with me. And that was just, I mean, nobody but God can do something.
Nobody but God.
Nobody. It cannot even be explained in words. It's not even in human logic. It's not possible beyond man. You know, man can't do anything like that. God orchestrated that, and he did that thing. He did that thing.
My God. Well, babe, do you have anything to say?
Amen. I just thank God for what I've heard this morning. This is one of those instances where there's just really nothing left to say. I can remember, speaking of this testimony services, how that sometimes the testimony service would just get so high that there was never, ever a preached word that night or that day, because the message came in the testimony, and there was nothing left to do but just open the doors, open up the altar and say, come. And that's what we have today, just a moment to just say to whoever's listening, whether you're listening live, through the internet, whether you want to listen later on their archives, we invite you right now to just turn to God and experience this life-changing, this healing, delivering God that you heard about today. Call in to this number, email us. The host will give you the email address, a phone number, whatever. Just turn your life over to Jesus right now. Call us, and then we'll help you with what your next steps are. But right now, I just say, turn to this Jesus and find out that he'll do the same thing for you.
Yes, he will.
Amen. Well, Sister Renita had to hang up. She said her phone was dying. So I thank God for your testimony and for your willingness to come on and give your testimony. And I'm like my husband. There's nothing else to say but to God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. And I want to invite you to tune in, not just you, sister, but I'm saying to our listeners, to tune in to the broadcast every Tuesday through Thursday. Pastor Adrian Bernard is on at this same number, 858-683-1334. And she is on at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, 4 o'clock Eastern time, Tuesday through Thursday. And then on Sunday, she's at 10 o'clock. She's 10 o'clock our time, and I'm not sure of the other time. But anyway, she's 10 o'clock, and I hear your baby in the background talking. Did she want to say something,
ma'am,
on the air?
My daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, Zariah, come here. You want to talk on the radio? Come here, baby. Come here. Say hello to the world. Jesus loves you. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
You doing good? I heard about you. I heard about you praying. Can you pray for us today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Jesus is good.
Jesus is good. Yes, he is. Well, we're so happy that you joined us today. How old are you?
4.
You're 4? Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for saying hello to the world today.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hello.
That's precious, so precious.
Yes.
Just, you know, I'm really just blown away, you know, by your testimony, and I know that when people listen, people don't always call in, and nobody called in today, but Sister Renita and the Pastor Bernard, but I know that when people listen to the archives, that just like we are when we listen to the testimonies, you know, each Saturday, we know that it just builds our faith. It builds our faith, and that's a model that I have, building faith one testimony at a time. It builds our faith. It lets us know that there is truly nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that is too hard for God. And with that, we're going to end the broadcast, but I'm going to ask you if you would end us in prayer. And if you have anything else that you want to say, you can say that. You can say that also.
Okay. Well, I would just like for those who are in Arkansas that are listening, that if you want to go forth where the truth is being told, visit us as a House of Refuge Ministry in Jacksonville, Arkansas, with the lovely Pastor Larry Gregory, who's an awesome man of God, where the truth is being unfolded before our eyes, and change is real. If you stay there long enough, the change is going to happen. Don't run from God, you know, and he's real. He's alive, and he wants to heal the brokenness in people's lives and to make us whole. But I want to end with a prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity of allowing me to be there for you, by you, oh God. Thank you for allowing me to experience you in a personal and an awesome way, oh God. Mm-hmm. I thank you for everyone that's listening at the sound of my voice, oh God, that something may have been said that will bring about a change in their lives, oh God. I praise your name, oh God, that you are the risen Lord and the risen King, oh God, and I thank you for your faithfulness towards me and those that you love, oh God, that seek and hunger after righteousness, oh God. So, Lord, I thank you. Right now, Lord, I just praise your name. I give your name praise, oh God, because you are worthy. You are the Jehovah Jireh, our provider, oh God. You are Elohim, oh God. You are our healer, oh God. You are our redeemer, the lifter of our heads, oh God. And I thank you, oh God. And I thank you, oh God, for everything that you're doing in the lives of your people. And I just pray that somebody may hear and repent for the remission of their sins, and they know you're not. Lord, and I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I have a caller that called in. The area code is 504 and your last four, 9859. Did you want to say something? Thank you for joining us. Are you there, caller? Are you there, caller? Area code 504.
Yes, hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, this is Dawn, Adrian Bernard's sister.
Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for calling in this morning.
I saw it online, so I said, let me call in and see who's on this morning. Well, good morning to y'all.
I enjoy
the radio show every time I call. And it's a blessing to be, I can talk sometime while I'm at work right now, but God is so good to me. But I want you all to continue praying for my sister and my mother, and I appreciate you helping sister. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, and thank you for calling in, and we will continue to pray for your mother and your sister that we're going to have a miracle very shortly with Sister Danielle.
Oh, thank you.
Amen, amen. Well, we just thank God for the testimony this morning. And we are going to end on that note, and we just praise God for you. And you have a blessed day, sister.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. God bless.
And God bless. And we're going to end with our song. We just want to praise you.
I just want to praise you.
Forever, come on.
Forever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
you, Jesus.